When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. It is the day that the Giants have got away from Daniel Jones. Officially over for Daniel Jones. Boy, man, it has taken so long. BT, I didn't have an Emmy. I said before the bye week that if the Giants stuck with Daniel Jones, I don't care. I'm not watching it anymore. I couldn't take it. And now I couldn't be more excited to watch a 2-8 lousy football team because of Tommy DeVito. I'm into it. The fact that they're going to be on Thanksgiving Day, I think this just makes them more entertaining. Win or lose, succeed or fail, Tommy DeVito is going to provide some entertainment the rest of the way in an otherwise completely lost, disappointing season for the Giants.
And the Giant fans deserve it. I mean, the big difference outside of 2022, and that's obviously something the Jets fans wish that they had, but like, not only have the Giants been bad outside of the 1 year, they've really entered most seasons without any sort of hope or promise.
Yeah.
So while it's been completely derailed from a Jets perspective, at least a Jet fan for the last couple of summers, 6-7 primetime games. Oh, yeah. Everybody's talking about the Jets, a little energy. It's like the Giants have just been discarded by the side of the NFL highway with no hope and no real attention. But at least locally, Tommy gives it to us, and I can't wait to watch him play.
Yeah, the Jets, we were
I hope
excited
he crushes
to,
it.
Me too. I can't. By the way, what are you doing Sunday? You want to go to the game?
What do I do? Hold on. This Sunday?
Hey, little Giants Bucks, MetLife Stadium. We'll go there in our Italian outfits. Maybe bring some colors.
What is an Italian outfit?
I have no idea.
What, Sergio Fischini? Italian outfit.
What, the zip-ups? I don't even know. Like, what are the zip-ups?
I used to love those things.
Rent an IROC, Camaro or something.
I never had that. My dad, who was Irish, would never get me that. Number one, he didn't have the money. Number two, he's like, you're not driving around in that thing. Are you crazy? Italian outfits.
At the very least, we got to celebrate with, you know, we got to watch that game and have some, you know, a little chicken parm.
Let me see. Hold on. Why do I feel like, I feel like it's my, is it, no.
You don't know what you're doing this weekend already? Come
I don't
on.
Know. What. Anyway. Dude, it's Monday. Yeah, I just I got know. Past the weekend. You want me to hit you with everything
I did this weekend?
I can bore you.
I can't. I couldn't even tell you
take
what I did
the whole
Saturday.
Show. Yeah.
All right, BT and Sal, the fail. Let's get back to the folks. We're working some baseball as well. Today's the day the Yankees are meeting with Juan Soto.
It is the big boys' turn to sit at the head of the table.
After the Mets met with them on Saturday, so we'll get into that as well as some other free agency stuff. Steven is calling from Mayapack. What's up, Steven?
Brandon, would provolone have been your runner-up with cheese if Mussado wasn't in the cards for you?
It probably would be. I mean, it's a distant second. It's like settling on the quarterback. You don't want to draft, but you know you got to take one. Mussado for it. It's not even close.
Yeah. May I quickly on the Giants and then the Jets fourth down? With the Giants, you're absolutely right. Let's get entertained. I mean, they've got 4 Super Bowl wins, 3 improbable against the Patriots and Bills. So at this point, just get entertained. And on the fourth down and two, I apologize if you've already had this thought.
Go ahead.
And this could be just a fan mindset. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't get it, right?
Yep.
They would have had another timeout, right? They wouldn't have burned that timeout.
100%.
You're shortening the field for Indianapolis, which is a kind of a good thing on the back end. They're going to settle for 3, correct, if they make the kick. That's going to leave you, the Jets, maybe a minute and 25.
Mm-hmm.
50 more seconds and 2 timeouts.
Yep.
On the back end.
You know, it was one thing, Steven, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in. It was one thing where I'm watching that final drive just hoping that the Colts scored quickly.
Me too.
Because then you're thinking, all right, well, at least they have a chance here. And, of course, they can't even do that right. And they burn the timeouts, which is annoying. So
didn't the Colts call the timeout and even help them out a little bit? I'm pretty sure that the Colts did.
I think there was some confusion there during the broadcast.
Yeah,
and
there was.
And I think they clarified it saying that it was the Jets.
That's right. That's what it was. They initially said the Colts, and they went back to it, which made no sense.
But, hey, look, Richardson looked good.
Yeah.
He looked tough, a physical. I mean, that's the type of quarterback you want, a guy who can run and make plays with his arm as well. And that's today's NFL. We don't have that with both the Jets and the Giants at this point. Matter of fact, we haven't had it ever, I guess, with those two guys. I know Zach was supposed to run a little bit, but you get the point. Either way, still inexcusable for the defense. And I'm not blaming the decision on the loss. The drive before that where the Jets allowed a touchdown shouldn't have happened. Like, all those things. Jets aren't good.
There's too many points where you could sit there and say, my God. Can I give you a stat?
Yeah.
And I do agree. It wasn't just the one play. It's a combination of bad things. So Aaron Rodgers played 241. Just think about this. And I'm saying it more and more. I'm going to have to trademark this. Like, the Jets really are legend killers. Like, I bring up the Piper Snuka thing. But they killed Favre. They killed Rodgers. Like, it happens all the time. They killed Ronnie Lott. Others. You know some of the names, right?
Yes.
So the Aaron Rodgers 241 game run in Green Bay, not counting playoffs, I'm talking about regular season. Once did he have four straight drives without a first down.
Yeah.
241 games once. With the Jets, he's played 11 games, and one of which was four plays, and it's happened three times. I mean, just think about it. Is it him?
Or is it them? I choose to think it's them. I understand he's not him.
Yeah.
But it's them.
Well,
it's
you just answered
him.
It, though, Sal. Because he's no longer him, he's not. He doesn't have enough to overcome them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if anybody does. Lawrence is in Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I had something I wanted to add about the DeVito starting, and like, I'm really happy he's starting, but I think the reason Locke is there is because Shane had some foresight and said, hey, Jones sucks, and the only reason he's here is really because the owner wants him here, so in case I have to go to the bench, we can't have Jones go and play at all because his injury contract like $24 million or something if he gets hurt. So how are we going to put him on the field, you know what I mean? With that money on the table for him, you can't put him on the field.
Well, they did. What do you mean?
You mean at this point?
Right. If Jones gets hurt now, we would owe him $24 million. So in this situation where DeVito gets hurt, there's no situation where Jones can see the field.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
I got you.
Yeah. Yeah,
but either way.
And let's go, Tommy DeVito!
Let's go. Wild.
Who knows? I do think. I don't know.
Scared the hell out of me.
I do think that there's financial incentive here. I mean, obviously with the Jones, with the injury guarantee, although it's got to be, I think it's been hijacked a little bit. Like, Daniel Jones would have to basically be rendered completely physically useless next year for that to kick in. So that it's been a little hijacked there. But yeah, I believe there's monetary incentive as well with the Drew Lock stuff, whether it's incentives for, you know, each percent of snap, there's increments. You know, when you look at his Spotrac numbers, a 40, 50, 60, 70% bump in terms of snaps and money made.
No, I know, but
if you think about this, like if Drew Lock, if Drew Lock played every snap the rest of the way, he's going to start hitting. And even if he just played the next seven games, whatever it is, he would meet some of those. And then if he did well, he could meet a few more. So, yeah, he's not a piece of the future. Why cut another check for $2.5-3 million if you don't have to for a guy that's not a piece of the future?
Right, but the bottom line there is Daniel Jones not seeing the field ever again with the Giants.
Like, I agree.
That's it. It would have to be two guys get hurt in the same game. It's over. Like, there's no point to play Daniel Jones, and they're certainly not at this point going to risk being on the hook for an injury, although that may be unlikely. Like you said, it had to be catastrophic, but there's no, like, it's over. We will never see Daniel Jones play quarterback again for the New York Giants.
I agree.
And to me, I'm just thankful that that's the case. Mark is calling from Fort Dix, New Jersey. All due respect, DJ. Mark is calling from Fort Dix. What's up?
Hey, guys. First and foremost, I just want you guys to know that you guys have the best show on the Fan right now, hands down.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Very, very nice. Thanks, buddy.
So, I got 2 points, and I would like to ask your opinion, because I was going to get one. You guys cut me off. Not you, but the thing. So the first point is social media and all the Giant fans. I've been a fan for a long time. I think, and even sports, the networks in general, they missed the ball. They missed the point. Forget about Saquon. Forget about Daniel Jones. The biggest mistake the Giants could have ever made, and we're going to pay the price for the rest of this decade probably, is that we passed up on Allen that went six. We should have picked him at two. No one ever talks about it at all, as if, like, you know, forget about it. There would be no Saquon talk.
It is tied in, though, Mark, to taking Saquon number two. Like, we have said it, but Josh Allen is somewhere else, and we said it at the time, and if we say that it was a bad pick number two, they either could have traded down or taken a quarterback, which they desperately needed. So, yeah, I mean, it is something that has been brought up, but certainly not as much as Barkley.
Mark, before you make that next point, I want to just say, too, to me, you're 100% right, but the constant regurgitation of a colossal mistake, I mean, there's got to be an expiration point on that at some point. You got to push it forward.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly, but you know, not to reiterate, Allen was the mistake. That was the mistake. And then as far as DeVito, listen, DeVito beat Lockout in preseason. He knows the system better. He knows the team better. So in my mind, there's never been a debate on who the two should have been. It should always have been DeVito. The problem was we should have pulled the trigger at least at halftime in week 4 or 5. And that's on coaching, management, and ownership.
Why do it then? Like, if you're going to go with Daniel Jones as your starter going into the year, in his final year of the contract, why would you make that decision then when the season is still on the line?
Because you're trying to salvage the season.
Yeah, but Daniel Jones, and thanks for the call, Mark. We appreciate you checking in. We do appreciate the kind words. They believed that Jones, and I still understand, like, I don't think Daniel Jones is any good, but I still believe at that particular point, he was the quarterback to give them the best chance to win. I don't think they're going to DeVito now because they believe he gives them the best chance to win. Regardless of what they say, I believe it's evaluating what he could do, what he could do potentially moving forward, and also giving the fans some excitement while also protecting themselves from potentially being on the hook for an injury with that contract.
I definitely think it's multi-layered now. He just knocked them all out of the park. You hit them all. I think that, you know, whether it was week 4 or week 5, understanding how they view Jones coming in, partly derived out of hope at this point rather than, you know, true evidence that he was going to have a big year, you know, let's face it. But, like, would it be the right thing to pull the plug, you know, 5 weeks in? Probably not, unless you see evidence that Daniel Jones is nowhere near replicating 2022.
Right.
And to me, there was enough early evidence where that would have been justified.
Larry.
Meaning pulling him.
Larry's in Jericho. What's up, Larry?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
I just want to talk Jets a little. This team absolutely makes me sick, at least this team, this year, right? And I've had season tickets since 1999. And yesterday was the first time I literally had to put my hands over my face because I couldn't watch the first half of the game. It was just that disgusting. So I got 2 points. Hope you could hear me through on both. One, Aaron, does he even want to be out there? I know he says during the week that he wants to plan for 2025, but once he steps on the field, he looks just doesn't want to be there. He can't complete a pass more than 7 yards. He's afraid to throw the ball deep because he's afraid he's going to get intercepted. It's probably physical and it's probably mental, and he looks done. Okay, now we move on from Aaron. So we look big picture wise as far as, like, okay, ownership. Right, we know ownership, a lot falls on that. We need football people in here. I read a tweet this morning by Gary Myers, and it basically said, why don't you sell Curtis a share of the team and make him team president? Would love to hear what you guys have to say.
I think it's one of the dumbest things I've read in a long time.
What do you say? Sell what?
Basically, sell Curtis Martin a share of the team. Listen, Curtis, I saw that.
Oh.
Gary had it, right?
First of all.
Okay.
Like, why we... Come on now. Why are we reading Gary Myers tweets, please?
I guess it just...
I mean, let's see.
Trust me, I'm not seeking him out. I think it just popped across the timeline. I did not...
He's still around? I mean, call it a career already, Gary.
You got anything else you want to say to buddy? I mean,
he's taking some shots at the station and us.
Well, no,
I'm not a fan of Gary.
That's why I said that's the last thing that I want to... All the grievances are out. We're good, right? We got a few coming his way. Yeah, he talks smack against us.
We never mentioned it for years, so...
No, I had a great tweet, Gary. And I know Gary for a while. Whatever, he's harmless, but who cares what he writes at this point? I think it's really a completely useless tweet, and I did see it, only because somebody sent it to me. Now, it's useless because... You know, and maybe Gary's just carrying the mail for Curtis Martin, who is a great person. I have interviewed Curtis Martin, and Tiki would vouch for this, at least 5 times, going to all the Super Bowls that me and Tiki went to when we were together doing the national show. And it got to the point, and to be fair, you know the way it goes. You go to the Super Bowl, you go to Radio Row, our old producer, Santer, you know, he knows I'm a huge Jets fan. Obviously, Tiki loves Curtis, and he was a New York running back same time. Like, the first couple of times, we were excited. And then we're like, dude, he didn't even watch football. Curtis Martin doesn't even watch football. He has said as much. Like, I'm not saying you might not see him in an owner's box. I have seen him in an owner's box as well. If you think that Curtis Martin is engaged in the trenches of the modern NFL, You couldn't be more wrong. Maybe he wants to make some money, and I respect that. He's brilliant. I think Curtis is a smart guy. I think he's an awesome guy. But he is not living the football life anymore. He checked out the moment he retired. He does not watch football.
Can you blame him?
Let's hire him.
He was dating Toni Braxton. Is he still dating Toni Braxton? Do we know? Remember that?
Well, I mean, I remember.
Toni Braxton.
Unbreak my heart.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what's on prime Toni.
I saw Curtis, I would say this was in the early 2000s, at a Knicks game once in the stands. Okay. Just walking by. And I said, "Hey, Curtis!" And he looked at me and just waved. And then that was it. He kept it moving. And I ran into him at SNY Studios years later.
He's a class act.
Great guy. He's friends with Taylor Rook, so we were in there talking a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, like, that's your answer?
No.
that's who's going to fix the Jets, Curtis Martin?
Well, we just make Vinny Testaverde the offensive coordinator, bringing Kribet to be the receivers coach. Kevin Bowai can work the O-line. By the way, it might not be a bad option. What we just threw out. Maybe we stumbled on the actual answer for the Jets. You know what's funny, too? That last caller, thank you for that. I think that was Mark. He started the call when he said, "Hey, guys, I've been a season ticket holder." Listen to this guy's luck or the timing or lack thereof. "I've been a season ticket holder for the Jets since 1999. Do you remember what happened the first home game of 1999 for the Jets?
Yes, of course.
I do, because I was there. Vinny's Achilles snapped."
Yeah.
So the first year he makes a pretty big investment as a Jets fan, that's the end of the season, coming off the AFC Championship
appearance
against Denver.
Yeah,
I mean, think about this guy's luck.
You do it, and I don't think he's alone. You do it because they're coming off the year before, and you're thinking, "This is it. This is a Super Bowl year. I can't miss out. I'm going to get in."
I know. No, I'm not blaming him. I mean, sometimes you didn't have the money at that point, whatever it may have been, but wow.
Jay is in Rutherford. Jeez. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. I'm with you guys, man. Like, enough with Daniel Jones. Like, I've been an apologist. You know, like, hey, just give him time. But we've wasted 6 years with this guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And even if you keep the guy in, what's the best case that could happen? He wins you a few more games, kills your draft stock, you know? So it's like, enough with this guy, man. Like, you know, he'll be fine. Guy graduated from Duke. You know, in 10 years, you're going to hear he's got $1 billion worth of real estate or something, you know? So he'll be fine.
Hey, he's made $80 million the last couple of years.
Exactly.
2 years alone.
100%.
And by the way, his career's not necessarily over. Go ahead, Jay.
When I heard about the Tommy DeVito news, man, I went looking for my Cavaricci's.
Oh, don't forget the bikinis, the Capizios, too, and the Shams.
Here's the thing.
Nice.
Here's the thing with Tommy. I'm rooting for him, but Tommy, don't win us 6 games. We can't. We cannot drop
him. Tommy.
That now, thank you for the call. That's great. Did you have Cavaricci's?
Of course, man.
Oh,
you
got to
bust out the Christ heads, the Playboy nameplates. You got to get the little Italian horn. I mean, there's a lot of jewelry to go back and get.
I had the Playboy nameplate. I still might have mine, actually. Grandma got it for Christmas
one year. You had that, too, where it said your name, Diane. Like, that was phenomenal. We all had that. Do we think we were in 7th grade? We're Playboy gold plates.
The Playboy buddy.
That's great.
That I had. I never had the Cavaricci's.
Really?
They were maybe like a really expensive pant.
They were. You know, Santa brought a few of those.
Yeah,
you know, but,
I never liked them either, but I never.
They had two-tone Cavaricci's that I had. Two-tone, gray and blue. Jeez. Then I'll tell you what was a good pair of jeans, and it wasn't so much the Italian thing, Jerboes.
I
think that was a French brand, I think. Mm. But those were actually, you could wear those with J. Crew sweaters. And yeah, but let's go. Let's go with the Italian stuff out from the 80s.
I wonder where you could get Cavaricci's for now. Is he Cavaricci? We dress
online.
Up by him.
Guaranteed.
Come on,
online.
You and I will go Sunday. Whatever it is we're doing, we'll put on hold. I'll tell my wife, you know what? I can't spend the time with your family. I'm going to the MetLife Stadium. BT and I are going to watch our fellow Paisan. We're going
deck. Throwing back to the roots there. I'm only half Italian. You got to go. You got to lean in more than me, though.
I got my gold chain with the Playboy bunny.
What were those pants? They were, what were they?
Bazookas?
Yes.
Those people still wore in Buffalo regular, I think, right?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I never had those either. I was missing out.
Hey, Hoff, any other Italian traditions that we may have glossed over if we're going to throw this back for our boy DeVito?
Isn't it Italian, are you?
What?
You Italian?
75% what are you talking about?
You 75%?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He
I didn't
gets
know
offended
that.
When you ask it that way. I asked him that once, too. Because I'm thinking Hoffman, Irish, German.
I got Casario, I got Garenti. Yeah. I mean, come on, forget about
it. He's got the vowels. What are we missing here?
You got the horns?
I mentioned the Italian horn. Yeah. Got it.
Well, like hanging from the car window.
Horn. Oh, that was the red one that you hung.
The Maloik. We got the Maloik. I'm trying to think what else we got.
Jeez. Oh, my God, man. That is so.
Just bring a couple of Zeppelins. We're good.
Yeah. All right. There you have it.
I feel good about that.
Hey, just in time for the holidays.
I got to revise the Christmas list here. I got to ask for some stuff. I got to throw it back.
Z Cavaricci's, BT and Sal. The fan. We'll get into some baseball notes. Hoff has something for us. BT and I did our best to avoid whatever he's talking about
here. Which I have. I have not gone online. I've avoided it.
But it pertains to a big-time free agent and potential teams that are interested in him. not name Juan Soto, so we'll discuss, or Alonzo. We'll discuss that.
Hey,
BT and Sal back on the fan.
It's Dominic the
Now, see, I don't associate this. I never associated this with being Italian.
Oh, 100%.
To me, it was always Christmas.
Wow,
I guess I never thought of it.
Come on, man.
It's not
is
a Christmas
Italian.
Song.
My grandmother used to sing this.
Maybe I'm getting it mixed up. Maybe it isn't.
It's the Italian Christmas donkey.
Yeah, okay. So
it's Italian.
Yeah,
the
donkey. Yeah, whatever. All right,
love
there you
it.
Go.
Although it does bother a lot of Italians, actually.
Does
this,
it?
This one doesn't bother me.
Why does it bother Italians?
I don't know.
I like
the Sopranos
song.
Bothered some
That's
people.
That's what I'm saying. What's wrong with people?
The misrepresentation of culture, which, you know, I listen.
Misrepresentation, that's...
No, no.
Come on.
It's a perfect encapsulation if you're really
obviously there was a lot of bad there.
Well, of course.
And a lot of good as well. The respect part of it is my big thing.
Yes, yes,
right?
Yes.
Come on, you know what I'm talking about.
I totally know what you're saying, of course.
BT and Sal, back on the fan. All right, Hoff, what do you got for us here? You've been teasing.
Okay. Yeah,
don't be a donkey with this.
Yeah. So, John Morosi went on a little while ago with MLB Network and said, quote unquote, there are two teams that stand above the others.
Oh, wait, John Morosi, let me guess. The Blue Jays.
No.
And one of them's on a flight out there.
I will tell you this much. One is an AL team, one is an NL team.
Okay, let me guess here. Talking about Corbin Burns.
Corbin Burns,
yes.
So wait a second. So two teams, he's saying, stand out to get Corbin Burns.
Correct.
Yeah.
The Yanks, Mets.
No way.
Try it again.
Mets have no interest in him.
Not Mets.
I'm gonna guess.
Not Yankees.
I'm going to guess the Orioles and Blue Jays.
You got one right.
Okay.
The Orioles are one.
Okay.
The other team.
Dodgers?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh,
Dodgers, yeah.
Wow.
Do you imagine that?
No,
well,
not
they're
going to really,
lose Walker
but,
Buehler,
yeah, I guess.
Potentially. They're
Walker
gonna get
Buehler? Time. Corbin Burns is the best free agent on the market.
Yeah, he's going to be a bust, man. I'm telling you. I would not pay him that much money.
I don't think he's going to be a bust. I mean, I'd love to see him in New York, but it just
would
sucks.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Thanks.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, even if you guys got him, I think it would make you so much better.
David Stearns, here's all you need to know. David Stearns would want no part of Corbin Burns. He knows him. The Mets need pitching, and there's no chance the Mets would even be in on Corbin
unless
Burns.
They whiff on Soto.
I don't think so.
Then I think they might pivot.
I don't think at all. I would bet that the Mets wouldn't touch Corbin Burns.
Why, though?
I don't think they're interested in the player.
The age.
Yeah,
all filthy.
And him. And the player.
I mean, there's some issues there. I'll take him.
Yeah. I just buyer beware. Let somebody else. I'd rather go shop in the bargain bin for the pitchers. Yeah. I'm not giving. What is he going to get? Did Morosi give any numbers?
200 mil.
That's
what I've seen kind of floated out there. Yeah, in that 7-ish years. Yeah.
You're crazy, Sal. I can't believe. Corbin Burns is the best starting pitcher out there. The Mets, what's besides hitting and Juan Soto, what do they need more than anything else? Starting pitching.
I wouldn't. Here's all I know. I wouldn't touch him myself. And the Mets, have the Mets been linked to him at all? No. Because they have no interest in Corbin Burns. And there's a legitimate reason for that. You shouldn't be paying pitchers what he's going to get long term. You just don't do it. I wouldn't even want him in the short term. Also, I think that there were some, like I said, issues where maybe his personality wouldn't be a great fit in New York. Remember, Stearns knows him well. They had the issue with the arbitration stuff.
That's true.
Mets aren't going near him. And if I were the Yankees, I wouldn't touch him either. Yeah, real quick.
I have one question on that. Because to your philosophy, you can't go and pay pitchers. Mm-hmm. Don't pay starting pitchers. And I'm not totally against that. But you can't keep on like just throwing things against the wall and hopefully that they work out. You have three major starting pitching positions open. You can't just go and get, all right, maybe this guy's going to have a renaissance year. You can't do that.
There's only so many of those guys, those transfer, those reclamation projects to your point, like Manaea and obviously Sethi, both of whom could leave. Listen, the Mets have, this is where it gets really interesting. Like there's a perception, well, the Mets get Soto, Mets are done. Mets get Soto, they better just get started.
Correct.
I mean, geez.
Soto's just to get it started. Both these teams don't need that. You're right. It can't be Soto and then that's it. No.
Mm-hmm.
It's Soto and then either Adames or, as you brought out, maybe trade for Vlad Guerrero.
Christian Walker for the Yankees.
Yeah, they got to
get him.
Yeah, right. It starts with the Mets, regardless of whether I want Burns or not or whether they want Burns or not, they're going to need pitching and a lot of it.
Question for you.
Yeah.
And I do understand like your premise about, because you're pretty much paying for about 40 to 50% of what Corbin Burns has already done.
Correct.
I get that. That's not a really prudent way to move about building a team. But would you rather give money, which you can always recover, or give prospects and trade for Crochet? What's more? You need pitching.
I'd rather trade for Crochet.
Okay, I thought you'd say that. By the way, I would probably agree with that.
I don't even know if I want to do that, but of the two, I think that would be the better investment. You're giving up a lot of prospects, sure,
mm-hmm.
but you're buying high side on Crochet and not paying for what he did in the past, to your point.
Yep.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Mario's in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's going on? Good call, guys. Good show today, guys.
Thanks, Mario.
What's happening?
Yeah, I agree what you said earlier, Sal, about the Jets with they might have a better shot. I know how frustrating it is in terms of how Rodgers is playing. But when you really look at the numbers, he's got 16 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions.
Yep, and then you watch the games and nothing goes past 7 yards and they don't win and they don't score. I don't care about the stats.
Yeah, I know. It is frustrating. We're looking for more. But here's the thing.
And by the way, those stats for Rodgers aren't even good. Like, for Aaron Rodgers, it should be minimum 20-plus touchdowns and, like, 4 or 3 or 4 interceptions.
At this point, yeah.
He used to throw 4 in a year. Like, so, all right, I mean, it's not awful numbers, and compared to what the Jets usually have, it's not bad. But for Rodgers, that's not good. But anyway, okay, go ahead, continue, Mario.
Yeah, but I look back the last 15 years. That's still the best quarterback touchdown to interception days we've
had.
For
the Jets, you mean? For the Jets?
Yeah, for the Jets.
Well, it's Fitzpatrick. He set the Jets' touchdown record, Fitzpatrick.
I'm talking about touchdown to interception ratio.
Okay, yep, go ahead.
Not the numbers.
What else you got, Mario?
Yeah, so the second thing is the Giants. I think that, they really made a mistake. And the problem with Danny DeVito is what do you really want to happen? Let him play.
Tommy.
But if he wins, then they get a worse draft pick.
Tommy DeVito.
I don't know.
Mario.
Tommy DeVito.
Mario.
Danny DeVito, yeah.
No. DeVito. 0 for 2.
That was just being disrespectful to our boy. He's gone.
Tommy.
I hung up on him.
You think he's doing that on purpose?
Yeah, the second time I do. Yeah.
Come on. It's Tommy. It's either Tommy DeVito or Tommy Cutlets. Whichever one you want to call him is fine. You can't call him Danny DeVito. Did they do something together yet? Because they should. And I think it comes from Daniel Jones and Danny Dimes. So then there's imagine that. We actually, and when I say we, I use that term loosely because I never did it, but people actually came up with the nickname Danny Dimes.
Ugh.
Good God.
Yeah, I mean.
Talk about a bad miss.
Danny mortgage rates at this point, Danny inflation.
Danny Dunn.
The opposite of getting money.
Danny Dunn. Somebody sent me this text, BT, over the weekend, a Jets fan, my buddy Sam Pepper. And he was trying to prove the point that Rodgers has been the worst quarterback in Jets history.
This is what Sam was saying?
Yeah, he said, sends me a
not even close to being true.
All right, I said this. I'm like, dude, come on, get over it. Like, it's blame.
Is he a Jets fan, Sam?
He's a
I
Jets
know,
fan.
Sam. I don't remember he's a Jets fan.
Yeah.
I know.
He used to work at SNY. Yeah. Now he works for Omaha Productions.
Mm-hmm.
Winning percentage as Jets starting QB. Zach Wilson, 364. Sam Darnold, 342. Aaron Rodgers, 273.
I did see that.
But to me, that even proves my point. Like, it's not Rodgers. Do you really think Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold are better than Aaron Rodgers, even this version of Aaron Rodgers?
I don't. The difference, though, and what it should prove now in football, the other sports are different. It should really, for everybody that still thinks that you're kind of a player away, is something Tiki's always said, and I agree. Like, the thought last year watching Zach and White over the like, man, if they just had decent quarterback play, they'd be 11-12 win team with the defense, right? That was the thought. Now, Rodgers, he's pedestrian. He doesn't run. He doesn't throw it downfield. But again, he's going to finish up with 25, 27 touchdowns, something like that. And I remember saying before the start of the season, thinking the defense would be a whole hell of a lot better than it is, and they'd run the ball better, that if he had 27, 28, 30 touchdowns, the Jets are going to be top 2, top 3 seed. He's going to get to that neighborhood, but they're going to be drafting top 5. So, you can't just say, because every year evolves. That's my point.
Right.
Every year is so different. It's not like, well, if we could just patch up this one hole, everything changes.
A new hole springs a leak.
Yep.
The next year, you can't just take what happened last year and transfer it to this year and place Aaron Rodgers in and think it's going to. Last year, the Jets were a better team. Whether it's they were better coach, whatever it may be, they were better last year.
The first 3 weeks of the season, they were better.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. They were a better team under Salva.
Yeah.
They were a better team.
Yeah. Woody made 2 mistakes, keeping Salah going into this year and then firing him when he did. We're going to hear from Brian Daboll when we come back. He's going to be speaking live, so we want to hear what he has to say about the quarterback change, and then we'll continue with your calls at 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
I actually can't wait to hear this. I'm very curious how he goes about it. All right. The Hess Toy Truck is back, and it's better than ever for their 60th year. This year's edition is the 2024 Hess Fire Truck with car and motorcycle. Gotten this the last couple of years. I got the little car and motorcycle tucked into the
I noticed there were 2 left in our office, both for BT.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's BT and Sal, is it not?
It is, but not with Hess. It's just BT.
Oh, okay. I got it.
I can get you one, buddy. By the way, I got you Johnny's gear coming. So,
ooh, I love that.
Got some more stuff coming for you.
I'll look out for you. You know, I appreciate that. You know, thank you. BT and Sal back on the fan on this Monday. We're awaiting Brian Daboll, who will be addressing the media. We will go to that live once he does and then come back and react to it. We'll continue with your calls as well. You know, BT, I didn't think I was going to be into the, just a side note as we fill here, I didn't think I was going to be as into the Jet game as I was yesterday. So much so that I was like, yeah, what the hell? I'll work, take the extra shift. You know, there's holidays are coming up, new house. I mean, take any additional income that we could get.
Every penny counts.
And have some fun doing a show on a Sunday. Yeah. But I was actually more intrigued and interested in that Jet game than I thought I would be. And even moving forward, I was like, oh, I'm not going to watch the Giants. And who knows if Drew Locke were going to be the quarterback, if I was going to have interest maybe that I didn't think I would have initially. But now I know I'm going to be into Tommy DeVito's led Giants. I don't know about the Jets moving forward, although we'll get to them in a little bit. Right now, Brian Daboll is not addressing the media. He is false alarm right there. We'll await once he is there. Then the boys will let me know, and then we can throw it in here. But the intrigue with the Jets, I'm not sure, is there. With the Giants, it is because Tommy DeVito. Here is Brian Daboll.
So we're making a quarterback switch here from Daniel, and we're going to go with Tommy. I spoke with all the quarterbacks this morning before our morning meeting. Let them know what the direction that we're going. Those are never easy conversations. Got a lot of respect for all three of those guys. After evaluating a bunch of things and looking at a lot of tape and being around Tommy last year where he created a little bit of a spark for us, that's the reason why we're going with Tommy. Drew will be the backup. Continue to work with him. He's been nothing but a pro, and as was Daniel. So it's never an easy conversation to have with the players, but felt like this was a necessary move for us, and look forward to working with Tommy and getting him ready to go against Tampa.
Please raise your hand if you have a question.
Yeah, I got some. I have a few.
We have a few for you.
Paul Schwartz.
Yeah, Brian.
Morning, Paul.
Hey, morning. A couple of quick things. Why now with the move? Obviously, it's the bye. You're on a 5-game losing streak, but why now actually, make the move with Daniel?
Yeah, I think you said some of those things. We're obviously not playing the way any of us want to play, and that's on all of us, but felt like this was a decision that we needed to make here and try to spark things, change things up. We went and did it with Tommy. Again, we spent a lot of time here over the last week of evaluating a lot of things and just felt like this was the best thing for us.
And one more quick one. Obviously, you guys signed Drew, gave him a decent contract, and he was the backup in every game. So usually the backup gets the call and not the number three guy. Why, flipping over him to go to Tommy?
Yeah, I understand the question. Again, I got a lot of confidence in Drew, the way he's handled himself since he's been here, and he handled this well too, being a professional. Again, Tommy, we've been with Tommy here for a little bit. He's done a nice job, I would say, throughout practices here, but also we have something to lean on by going back and watching him operate some of our stuff from last year. This is no indication on Drew whatsoever. He's been excellent for us. It was more about what I felt Tommy gave us.
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, then why wasn't he number two to start?
Good morning, Daves. How are you?
Hi, Patty.
I have two for you.
Sure.
First off, can you tell us when the decision was made? Did you make it this morning? Did you make it over the weekend?
Yeah, it's been doing a lot of work over the bye week, including Saturdays and Sundays, and felt comfortable this morning coming in and letting those guys know before the meeting so we can get, kind of the week started here and get on to Tampa preparations. But I did want to make a decision right after the game, however that game went. I wanted to take our time and, watch a lot of tape, not just this year's, last year, some other things too, and try to make the best decision we can make for our team. And, that's what I did.
And then my second question for you is, you mentioned having had Tommy before. How much, if anything, given where you're at, the personnel you have, how much do you tweak to maybe better suit Tommy versus what you had with Daniel?
Yeah, I think that's, that's what we'll be doing here, over the next course of this week and getting ready for Tampa Bay. You know, Tommy has his strengths that we'd like to try to utilize. And we'll try to put the game plan together that's best for our football team, but also is conducive for him to go out there and play well.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bruce back.
So cordial.
Hi, Brian.
Morning, Bruce.
Hey, Coach, you could get a spark now. So what do you say to the fans who don't want to sacrifice higher placement in the draft in order to try to get victories in the remaining seven games?
Yeah, look, we have a lot of football in front of us. I think we all need to be committed to doing everything we can do to, you know, close out the season the right way and just take it one week at a time. And that's where really our focus is going to be, is with Tampa and, you know, certainly all the issues that they present defensively, particularly on the offensive side speaking. And, you know, the only thing we control is our response of, you know, this is how the season has been so far. It doesn't dictate where the season's going. You know, we put a lot of time, effort and energy into this, and that's what we'll all do.
Dan Duggan.
Where's Leonard?
You said Locke will remain number two, right?
He will.
So why Daniel going from one to three?
Yeah, again, I just, you know, I'm going to get into the, you know, the particulars of the conversation. I think Drew's been doing a good job. Again, we're shaking things up, Dan. Obviously putting Tommy there at the one, and you know, we'll do the same thing here, keeping Drew at the two and keep working with him.
Will Daniel remain with the team, practice? Because in situations like this in the past, I feel like maybe Derek Carr a few years ago just kind of went home. Will Daniel do that, or will he stick with you?
No, understand the question. No, he's here. He's here, and you know, again, we had a talk right before the meeting today. Never easy. Got a lot of respect for how he goes about his business, for how Drew does, for how Tommy does. Those aren't easy conversations, but nope, he's here.
And last one, you know, you say you've done a lot of evaluation looking back at last year, this year, everything. Why do you think you weren't able to get Daniel to, let alone raise his level of play, just get back to the level of play he had in 2022?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I think that's an all-encompassing, you know, that's on everybody. That's just not on Daniel. You know, that's on me. That's on an entire offense of, you know, performance. So, again, making this decision to, you know, try to spark it, to give Tommy an opportunity. Again, he did some nice things when he was in there and he played as a rookie. And I know he's eager for the opportunity.
Tom Rock.
Brian, are there any other personnel changes that you're going to be making on either side of the ball here?
Yeah, I would say, you know, that's specific based on the packages that we have, Tom. Personnel groups offensively or defensively, you know, a lot less than this, obviously, where you just see the quarterback situation. But there'll be different guys mixing in and out, and we'll take a look at some of these guys that have done a nice job, you know, since they've been here, of maybe they haven't had as many reps, but or we implement them into some personnel groups. And that's what we'll do here over these next couple of days when we get ready for Tampa, is to decide, you know, where these guys fit.
Right. And then just with Tommy, obviously we haven't seen him a lot since training camp. Just, I guess, where have you seen the most growth from him since what last we saw him in the preseason games?
Yeah, I think, again, you go by the meetings that you have with these guys. He's out there practicing and taking show team reps and doing those type of things. And I think he has good fundamentals. I think he's got good quick release. But it's really some of the things in the meeting room when you're talking about tape, or you're talking about pressure packages or re-identifications or checks and things like that. He's played almost 700 snaps for us, preseason and regular season included. So, you know, experience helps. So we'll do everything we can to get him ready.
BT, did you continue to have those, on the fan, listener Brian Daboll tell the media about the benching of Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I've had some of them. Again, obviously the time is spread out a little bit differently. I've had some of them with him, and again, we're just trying to develop him the best we can. And you know, he's done a good job of taking to the coaching.
Thank you.
Yep.
Brian Dunleavy.
Hey, Brian.
Morning, Ron.
Hey, I don't want to ignore the elephant in the room. You bench Daniel Jones. What's his future with this franchise beyond this season?
Finally.
Yeah, understand the question, Ron. We're just focused here on this week and the decision that we made to get these guys ready to go. That's where our focus is.
I'd be like, sure, what Daniel, do you think it is?
I would assume Daniel asked you that question, right? Did that come up? Is that something you guys discussed?
Yeah, I'll keep the conversation that we had between us.
And then regarding Tommy, Dave's, like, yep. I get it. You're confident in him now, but I think that would lead anybody to say, well, why, if you're confident in him now, why he hasn't played since last year? So why was Drew Lock signed? Why are you more confident in him now than you were in March to make him the backup, or any of the first 11 weeks when you could have made him the number two instead of Drew Lock?
Somebody was saying that this
morning. Understand the question, right? Again, we went back and we looked at a lot of stuff. We talked about a lot of things and just felt like this was the right move at this time for us. So Tommy will be, working hard to get ready to play. And I know Drew will be a good teammate with him. And we'll just focus on trying to get better and get ready for this week.
Thanks.
Yep.
We'll take four more. Connor Hughes.
Yeah, what's up, Ryan? I'm just kind of doing a little bit of what Dunleavy had just said. I mean, if you're confident in Tommy now, why was he not given a realistic opportunity during the summer to be the backup quarterback or compete for the backup quarterback job? And now just 11 weeks later, it seems like he's going all the way up the depth chart.
There we go.
Yeah, I think, look, like I said, Tommy's been improving since he's been here. Again, have confidence in Drew as well. Just felt like this was the right move to make, Connor, with Tommy.
Scott Leonard.
Hey, Brian, how's it going?
Main event.
when you took Daniel out against the Eagles and then the next week you put him back in as the starter against the Steelers, you said the reason was because he gave you the best chance. Do you no longer believe that's true, that he gives you the best chance?
Yeah, I think, look, I'm excited to see what Tommy brings to the table. That's why he's out there, Pat. Again, we did a lot of, we had a lot of conversations, studied a lot of stuff, and again, have confidence in Tommy, and that's the reason why he's in there.
Has Tommy outplayed Drew in practice?
I'd say they've both done a good job in the things that we've asked them to do, the look teams, the preparation, being ready to go in case their number's called. Again, the conversation that we had with Drew this morning was a productive one. Obviously, it's, he'd like to be the starter, and I understand that. But again, the spark that Tommy gave, not just, I'd say, the offense, but the team, last year, I think is important.
Also, real quick, if you don't mind, how do you feel their locker room will react to, of course, this benching is at least partly performance-based, but it's well known that there's money and a financial penalty tied to an injury here with Daniel if he keeps playing. How do you guard against the players in the locker room feeling like there are motivations outside of putting the best team on the field for the decisions you're making in this spot?
Yeah, just like I said before, that's why Tommy's out there. I think he'll be ready to go. I'm excited to see him.
Thanks.
What?
Yep.
Charlie Carroll.
I mean, come on.
Yes. Yeah, Dave.
No.
Give it to him.
No, Dave.
On Pat's question there, how much, you said you had a lot of conversations, how much did that injury guarantee kind of factor into the decision to bench Daniel at this point?
Yeah, the coaches and I met, I'd say every day last week almost and into the weekend. And we evaluate the performance of the players. And we made a decision based off that to go with Tommy.
And then just a second question. How's you guys looking injury-wise coming into this week? Any like long-term or anything?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, can we fast forward to the next one?
Yeah, I think we're good.
There's only one more.
The injury stuff with me. You got ahead of me on that one, Charlotte.
But yeah, no one cares about that today. That's why.
Today, and everybody will be a full participant in it.
Last one, Jordan Renan.
Just to follow up on that real quick, Brian. Kayvon Thibodeau, do you expect him to come back after the bye?
It's a good question. I think there's a possibility of that, Jordan. I don't want to jump the gun here on it.
But he's not on the practice field yet. Because everyone's going to be there.
Yeah, everybody that can participate will participate. And then, we'll make a decision here on Kayvon based on where he's at.
And then with Daniel,
yeah.
How did that conversation go with him? Like, how did he handle the news? Obviously, he wants to be the starter.
Yeah.
So, would you describe his reaction?
Well, I would say, I got a lot of respect for Daniel. I've said that before. Those conversations will remain private. Certainly you're not going to be happy about that as a competitor, and I respect that.
And then we asked you this a lot, but how does ownership factor into this, and how did they factor into this specific situation? I know you talk to them all the time, you tell us up, but how did they factor into this situation? And then the perception from some outside is, hey, this is a move you're making because, you know, ownership wants it. It could help put fans in the seats. It
the best question.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this one.
What do you say to that?
Yeah, understand your question, Jordan. Again, our conversations will be private. We have plenty of them.
Mm.
And looking forward to Tommy getting ready here to go against
them. Yeah, yeah. All right, we're done. Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Give you input, or was it you telling you guys coming to them and say, hey, this is the decision that we made?
Yeah, again, respect the question. Our conversations will remain private here, but
nah.
They
didn't get nothing else there. We're
good. They have with Dable. You couldn't wait 5 seconds to hear him finish it out. He was not saying anything there.
Not saying anything. We'll take the bait. I respect it, by the way. I get it. The less you say, the less controversy that is going to follow. But the best question, and there were a lot of wasted questions there, but there were a couple of good ones, the best of which came at the end. You know, what influence and what say did ownership have in this discussion and this decision, if any?
Right, because that, time. That to me is the question of, like, tank versus trying to keep their jobs. There's a lot at play here. If ownership goes to them and says, or doesn't say anything, meaning they need to win to stay here, then they got to figure out what's going to be the best thing for them right now in the short term. If ownership goes to them and says, I don't care if you win or not, you better make this exciting or you better move on from Joe. Like, there's a lot there that maybe this is more than just Joe Shane and Brian Dable making a quote-unquote football decision.
Yeah, but that's why I, at the top of the show, I said I don't believe what they're saying. I just, not that they're, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what to believe.
That's why I just don't believe anything. I'm open-minded. I'll see where this goes. Now, I also think you left something out in terms of the wins and the losses and the coaches and the GM's job security. I mean, is there a mandate? Something else I said, but although I posed it as a question at the start of the show, like, is there a mandate from John Mara? Hey, listen, it's getting ugly, man. We're not winning games, so let's just throw them a bone and get, you know, one of our own out there, and, you know, maybe those 15, 20,000 empty seats from a lot of New Jersey fans. They, hey, you know, Tommy's playing, I will go, rather than sell it or not show up.
Regardless of the result, this move has created excitement and has made the fan base trying to at least have some fun with this again. So that's there's a lot there as to who's making this decision and why are they making this decision. Otherwise than just, yeah, that's a good question, but, you know, Tommy did some good things for us and he'll provide a spark, which I do think he can.
Mm-hmm.
But why have we gotten to this point other than the fact that Daniel Jones just stinks and it's over, thankfully?